I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, reminder, coming up, Radio Tinder. We've got Game of Games. It's my game today. Ramona, did you win any games while I was gone?
I did. I'm in it.
Okay.
I'm a contender.
I have not scratched in this month because I've been gone a lot. So if I don't scratch this week, I could get shut out for the month. But Lindsay, do you know what the standings are for Game of Games? Does anybody know? Mason probably knows, but he's stuck on an island in Costa Rica.
Mason won 4, Ramona won 4, and Jorge won 3, and I have 2. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So I'm in it. It's
tight.
It's a winning.
Yeah, you're very much in it. All right. So some of you guys know the name Sha'Carri Richardson. She's one of the fastest women in the world. She's a sprinter. And she was supposed to be one of the biggest stars for the United States at the Olympics. And then, Ramona, she failed a weed test. And because it was super close to the Olympics, it was a situation where she, I actually thought they should have let her race, but they, because of the rules,
it was too close. Yeah. It was within a month.
And there were
there was a way that she could have got around it, but it was literally just a few days short of the month that it would have taken. And so she was ineligible to compete in the Olympics.
Yeah, her mom died just before the Olympic trials.
Mm-hmm.
None of it felt fair, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
So she was kicked out of the Olympics, and then 3 Jamaican sprinters finished 1, 2, 3, and she was shut out. So this weekend, she got to race against those 3 Jamaican sprinters, Elaine Thompson-Herah, Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, and Sharika Jackson, in a thing called the Prefontaine Classics.
Mm-hmm.
That was up in Oregon. A lot of people thought that this was her chance to kind of show what she could do. We'll play you the race, and you can hear how it went. Keep in mind, this is a 100-yard sprint. It's only 10, 11 seconds. Here's how the race went at the Prefontaine Classic.
Women's 100. And a good start for Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce. Thompson-Herah. Richardson being left behind. And out in front, the Olympic champion does it again.
That was an amazing 100 meters. She made it look easy. No contest. What happened to Sha'Carri Richardson?
So Sha'Carri Richardson finished dead last. She finished 9th. And after the race, she was not backing down. Here's what she said after the race.
This is one race. I'm not done. You know what I'm capable of. Count me out if you want to. Talk all the shit you want, because I'm here to stay.
All right, Momo. What do you think of her reaction to finishing last?
I'm all right. I mean, look, Elaine Thompson-Herah did the same thing, okay? She didn't, not with the weed test or anything, but she won gold in 2016. Then she had a couple of years where she was not good at all, to the point where people thought she was washed up, like she wasn't going to be good. And then she came back, and she just ran the second fastest time in 100-meter history. And this is going to be a very dumb statement that I'm about to make, okay? There is a very, very small difference between being the fastest woman in the world and finishing last in that race. Okay?
No, I don't
it's
think
like
that's I think that's an excellent point. As a matter of fact, if she would have ran her best, she would have finished 2nd.
Right.
Instead, she finished 9th.
Right. And it's not that far off. And so I'm not surprised at all that somebody who's had a month off, where when you're in track, you peak at a certain time. So you train so that you peak right at those trials or right at the Olympics. Actually, you don't peak at the trials, you peak right at the Olympics. And then you probably are still at that running peak for another couple of weeks, which is exactly why Elaine Thompson-Herah is running so fast at the Prefontaine. But Sha'Carri was off. She was training to peak at the Olympics, did not compete at the Olympics. So yeah, she's still training, but she's not in that really sharp state that she normally would be right after the Olympics. So it's not surprising to me at all that she finished ninth. And when she says it's only one race, like that's what a track person would say. That's what somebody who runs all the time would say, is like, I'm just not at my best at right now, which is exactly the point. But the problem is she got so much sympathy and support around the nation for her situation. Like, everybody felt terrible for her. She was going to be the big star. She had a weed test. Everybody understood. You know, look, I think our thinking about weed has really changed in the last few years. Like, this isn't steroids. This isn't a performance enhancer. This was something she was using recreationally or even medically after her mom died. You can understand sort of how that gets in there. Now you could, I personally think if you're an elite athlete, you just have to know what you can and can't take. There's other things you can take that would be allowed, and you have to know that these are the consequences. But if you're going to, this is your big chance to come back and show everybody what they missed. Like, finish last, you probably just need to, like, you probably just need to say, like, I'm not at my best right now, but I'm going to show you. Like, just the wrong message. But I don't think it was off that she, even to be in the final of that is pretty impressive.
I kind of liked it. Now, she's catching some heat.
Yeah.
She's catching some heat for a YouTube parody she put out on social media. But Lindsay, you say it's not her?
No, John, that's how TikTok works. People, like, parody other people's songs and things. Like, that's Nicki Minaj, who, like, said in an interview a long time ago, you know, oh, I took some time off, you know, I was just taking some time off, and now I'm back, bleep. So it was her, like, pretending to be Nicki Minaj, like, saying that over her voice.
But did she send it out or not?
Sha'Carri Richardson? Yeah, she put it on TikTok. It's a video of her.
Here's what that sounded like. And this, she put this out before the race.
Took a couple, you know, I took some time off to rest, and now it's game time, bitch. You have no idea.
So yeah, that's not her. That's Nicki Minaj.
Yeah,
Nicki Minaj, but she put it in her voice. Like, she dubbed Nicki over her talking,
okay,
correct?
But you guys, I don't have any problem with any of
it. Yeah.
The one thing we want is we want people who are colorful.
Yeah.
You know, this is why people...
She's got some swag.
Right. This is why people love wrestling, all right? Because these wrestlers all talk big, and then they go in the ring, and then whoever wins, wins. But they don't back down from it. Lindsay, did you have any problem with how she handled all this?
Yeah, I think she looks like a jerk. And I don't think it's anything like wrestling, because wrestling, you have, like, the predetermined heels and the faces, the good guys and the bad guys. And, you know,
so why
you know,
does she look like a jerk?
Because I think she didn't back it up. Like, first of all, like, okay, with everything that happened with the Olympics, whatever, this was her first race. And if she's going to, you know, I just think it's sports in general are very, like, what have you done for me lately? And she just looks like an idiot when she comes out there, you know, like, acting like, oh, I would have beat all of them in the Olympics if I was allowed to run. And then, you know, she came in dead last. She got smoked. I just watched that race earlier and I was putting the clip in, and she got smoked. Bad.
Yeah. I think that part of being a sprinter is confidence. Mm-hmm. And if you lose your confidence, you're kind of screwed. You're right. She did get smoked. But again, if she would have run her best time, she would have finished second. She just didn't run her best time.
Yeah.
And so I don't know why, you guys. I find myself rooting for her.
I do too. I think, to me, she is, you know, she's authentic. Like, she's, when she's saying that, that's what she's thinking, John. Like, she's not trying to filter it for us to make it like, if I was her media advisor, I would tell her, hey, you should probably just say, like, hey, I'm not at my best right now, but thank you for everybody's support. I'm going to show you when I come back, when it's all, you know, she should say something like that. But this is what she really thinks. She's just confident. She's cocky. She's confident. Good.
You know, what would be awesome if these guys run again and she wins, just to put her finger up to her mouth and not say anything.
Like, yeah.
You know, but I mean, part of marketing is that you're not a robot.
Yep.
You're not boring. That you're, you know, I wouldn't hesitate to, like, if Lindsay's right and she's coming off like a jerk, we've had this discussion in the show a million times. Companies, sponsors will stay away from her because sponsors don't want any waves. You know, they're, mm-hmm. if you're a successful company that can afford to pay an athlete hundreds of thousands of dollars, then you, what you want is no drama. But if I was looking to sponsor an athlete, I would either do her or I would do that Sydney McLaughlin, that girl from Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who's super fast. And it just seems to me like there's something to those girls rather than just robots who run. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like what's fun about her is that she's very real and authentic. And she, you also are not sure if she's going to step out of line sometimes, right? Like you're not sure she's going to have something like a post a Nicki Minaj clip right there. And like, that's kind of what makes you great. Now, you only get a few chances to have a bad race. If you keep having bad races and you keep finishing dead last, then people are done. But if it's, hey, I'm not in peak performance, they're all just getting done with the Olympics, they're super fast right now, that's fine. People, if you know track, you know that this is what happens. Like there's nobody who can run out, who can run at top speed in perfect form all the time. There's no, if I were her, I would have spent the whole Olympics training so that I could beat everybody in my first race back. That would have been a better statement, but right. Clearly she wasn't in that top speed. And I think you get maybe one chance like that, maybe two, but after that people will be done. They'll forget. Then you just sound like you're delusional. But right. I think right now she still gets to talk like that.
As many of you know, nobody covers the NBA like Momo, and I'm shocked at some of the big names that are rumored to be buyout candidates. In other words, teams, rather than trade these guys, would simply buy them out and let them become unrestricted free agents. There are multiple time All-Stars on this list. We'll get into the rumors next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so the NBA season's right around the corner. The schedule came out Friday. And, Ramon, already there have been some trades, and there have been some surprises. For example, Patrick Beverley got traded to Memphis, and then they moved him almost right. Where'd they move him to? Minnesota?
And I think he's going to stay in Minnesota, because you have to remember, Patrick Beverley made a name for himself when he was with Houston. So Houston has
Gerson Rosas, yeah,
right, and Chris Finch was an assistant coach there, so they've seen the best version of Patrick Beverley, and I think they like him as a veteran, tough guy to be with that young group they have.
Okay, some of the other names that are rumored to be possible buyout candidates, and I need to be a little bit careful here. I can't tie anybody to the Lakers because I work for for the team. But some of the other names that are out there that are rumored to maybe be available, not as trade candidates, but that like they would be bought out, like John Wall to the Clippers. Are you buying that?
I buy that. They went and got Eric Bledsoe, who I think helps. But remember, the Clippers are going to be without Kawhi for pretty much the whole year. So they need another playmaker. John Wall has, I think, 2 years left on his deal. Is that correct?
Right. Now, keep in mind, a buyout would indicate, Momo, that Houston would reach a deal with him, pay out his current contract, and then he could sign with anybody he wanted to. It's kind of what Andre Drummond did with the Lakers last year.
Mm-hmm.
for the NBA minimum, right? He would get his money from Houston, but then he could play for whatever team he wanted, right?
Well, and you have to get, and you usually give some of it back, okay?
Right. So, yeah, like Blake Griffin gave some back when he went to Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, a significant portion of it back, okay? And, you know, I think John Wall has made a lot of money, but if he ever, I think it would probably be beneficial to him to play on a contending team where he would have a pretty big role. Right now, those minutes are probably going to go to Eric Bledsoe, but I think John Wall would, if John Wall was the guy, if he would, you know, if there's an option for him to come here. Now, it takes a lot for Houston to do that. Like, it's not that easy, and John would have to be willing to give up a lot of money. So even though I could see that happening, John, would you give up $13 million like Blake Griffin did? That's a lot of money to give back.
No, but John Wall's made an extraordinary amount of money already.
Yep.
So $13 million to him is not necessarily what it would be to me or you.
Yep.
And he's also, you know, been paid a couple of monster contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, what about Kevin Love? Does he stay in Cleveland?
Woo, this is an interesting question. You know, I think the take that they've had in Cleveland for a long time has been that, you remember, they signed him after LeBron left, and they signed into a big deal, and things went poorly from the start, as you remember. Ty Lue was there, Kevin Love was there, but nobody else was there, and both those guys are like, we signed up to play and coach a team that was going to contend, and this is a rebuilding effort. We're going to be in the lottery with top five draft picks for the next 5 years. What are we doing here? So Kevin's, you know, the way they took with Kevin was kind of like, help us help you. If you want to go play someplace else, you have to play and demonstrate your trade value. The problem is he keeps getting hurt. And even when he's back, he hasn't been great. So I could see them finally doing a buyout, but they don't really need to. And there is an argument to say, Cleveland's trying to win. I think they're trying to win this year. I don't think they're trying to tank at all. There comes a point with those young guys where you need to go someplace. You can't just endlessly rebuild and get top five picks. This was a great draft. They're really happy with Evan Mobley, who they got in the draft. I think Kevin would be a nice mentor to some of the young players they have. The only question is, does he take away some of the playing time you need to give to him and Jared Allen? So if he ends up working out a buyout, it's another one it's a little bit hard because of how much money is left on that deal. He might have to give some back, but I think there'd be a really big market for him. I think, you know, you look at Brooklyn, Miami, I could see the Lakers or the Clippers, just in terms of anybody could use, any contending team could use a stretch four who shoots the ball really well and passes the ball really well.
Okay. So you talked about the Beverly trade.
Mm-hmm.
Beverly went to
Memphis first.
So did Rajon Rondo. And there are articles on Real GM that say Rondo is unlikely to stay in Memphis. So if that's true, well, first of all, do you buy that? And if that's true, where does he end up?
I do buy that. He would be a great mentor to Ja Morant. Wouldn't that be a perfect mentor
right.
for him?
Yeah.
So there's plenty of reason for them to keep him. But they also do have a pretty crowded backcourt. There's not a lot of playing time for him. They sort of use that trade to get off all the money they owed Eric Bledsoe, right? And they had just traded for Bledsoe, too. That was just a draft day trade. So I think Memphis, who that's your guy, Zach Kleiman, who is a really good young GM.
Yeah, I love
Memphis does a really good job of what, you know, in the NBA, we refer to it as asset accumulation.
Right.
Which is, if there's some benefit for you, if you can get something, it's just another chip to play at the poker table, right? Whether they fit your team or not. Rondo could be a nice fit in Memphis. I wouldn't be surprised if he stays in Memphis. But I think of all the buyout candidates you've mentioned, Rondo is probably the strongest candidate to end up back with the Lakers. Like, if he gets bought out, I think he goes right back to the Lakers.
Really? Wow. That's fun to even think about. I thought he was great when we won the title.
Yeah,
particularly in the playoffs.
He was the model that they had as hey, this is what Westbrook can be. This is what we missed off of our championship team. right? I mean, I think that is a very strong option for them. But John, you know what's interesting about the Lakers and their final roster spots here? We all assumed that Jared Dudley was going to get one of these spots. I'm not sure about this anymore. Usually, Jared Dudley is one of the untouchables. Like, he just is a great guy, great teammate. LeBron loves him in that locker room. Almost like Udonis has him with the Heat. I mean, I use the right word almost because no one could be like Udonis has him with the Heat. But just a perfect guy to have on your team in that locker room. And can also play when you need him to. But he's fine with not playing too. I assume JD was going to get one of those spots. I'm not sure now because it seems like they're looking for a couple of guys still. Like they seem to want one more point guard, one more playmaker. And I think they would be open to one more center, somebody in that Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee type. So another buyout candidate who I think you should watch for. And this is another one that's a bit harder to see how it's going to happen, okay? But DeAndre Jordan in Brooklyn, they are way over the luxury tax. I think that they will need to – I don't think he would do a buyout there. I think if he doesn't play at all or if it, depending on how he fits there – this would be more of a mid-season thing, probably. There will be teams who are under the salary cap who can take his contract into space.
But wasn't he like part of the Kyrie KD thing?
Yep, he was. But he makes a lot of money and doesn't play all that much, and they have other options. So we'll see. We'll see how much he plays. Let's see if he fits there next year. You know, they have some other options now. And I mean, if you look at the luxury the teams that are paying luxury tax, Brooklyn, the Clippers, and the Warriors are paying so much luxury tax. You really have to look at how much you pay guys like that.
By the way, I asked Michael this last week when he was in, is this what the Warriors are doing? They get Klay back. They're going to have Steph, Klay and Draymond and one more short window at the title, and they're going to put them out there with all these teenagers?
Seems like it. Yeah, I know.
Does that make sense to you?
You know, not really. I would have I voted Steph Curry as MVP last year. Our ballots are public. I'm not going to, you know, go relitigate all that, but I just thought the way that he, outside of the first month or two of the season when he was kind of slow getting back, I just thought Steph was absolutely lights out. And, you know, if he's not on the team, they're probably the worst team in the league again. Like, that's how important Steph was.
Right.
And how good he was.
He basically got him into the postseason tournament. They finished eighth.
Yeah, they finished eighth. And to me, I mean, just especially down the stretch, oh, my goodness. When you have Steph Curry, who's 33 now, how many more years can he be that good? I mean, it's almost the way I feel about LeBron when he first came to the Lakers.
Right, well, that's why I'm surprised they're putting him out there with all these kids.
Yeah, and they tried. They tried to go get Bradley Beal. You can't make the Wizards trade him, right? I think that there will be other options for them to improve their team that come up, and they're playing it like asset accumulation, okay? So you have James Wiseman, and you have the two draft picks from this year, and those are obviously more valuable before you take those draft picks rather than once you take them. But, they tried to make a big trade. They just can't necessarily, you can't make the other team do it. So I think that's what they're rolling with. And, this is this idea of continuity. I mean, I think this idea that they're going to get Klay back and everything's going to be right in the world. Maybe. I mean, they got Andre Iguodala back. That'll help. But Klay is not coming back till Christmas. I mean, he's maybe a little bit before Christmas if he's progressing well, but he got injured. People forget he got injured in November. He tore that Achilles in November because it was right before the draft. And last year's schedule was way off in terms of timing. So, you come back from a knee injury one year, then an Achilles injury the next year. If he comes back, around Christmas or right before Christmas, that's 13 months from that Achilles injury. That's pretty standard for coming back from an Achilles. So there's 32 games or something between the beginning of the regular season and Christmas. That's Klay missing a third of the season again. More than a third, probably.
Reminder, Radio Tinder coming up at about 2:40. Coming up next, the number one thing that all the experts, the guys like Matthew Berry, say about fantasy football is, no matter what, don't take a quarterback in the first round. It's a waste of your first round pick. because there's so many good fantasy football quarterbacks. I have the fourth pick in my fantasy draft next week, and I'm taking Patrick Mahomes if he's there. Unless one of you guys talks me out of it.
I'm not going to talk you out of it.
877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Fantasy football draft rules. Does anybody actually follow these things? We'll get into it next, 710-ESPN.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Woo! Little Eddie Money.
Yeah.
Huge Dodger fan, Eddie Money.
Is he really?
Yeah. Well, he's dead now, but he was a huge Dodger fan when he's alive.
Well, he's dead now.
Yeah. He died a few years ago. We had him on the show a couple times. Mason and I had him on the show a couple times. Could not have been nicer. Like, loved talking about the Dodgers. I think I read he was a police officer or studying to be in the police department in New York, and he was in a band, and the band hit, and that was it. He gave up the police thing and became a rock and roll star. Ramona, the Hollywood Football League is something Mason and I have been in for more than 20 years. It's a bunch of agents and bigwigs and Hollywood dudes, and we've all been in the same fantasy league. Mason has the nickname Last Place Mace. As a matter of fact, now that's the name of his team because he's finished dead last 5 out of the last 6 years. He's got the first pick in the draft. I have the fourth pick this year. And the number one rule in fantasy football, if you talk to Matthew Berry or Field Yates or Eric Carabell, is do not under any condition take a quarterback in the first round. It's a waste of your first round pick. The problem is in our league, in the Hollywood Football League, all passing touchdowns are worth 6 points.
Yep.
Instead of 4. A lot of leagues are worth 4. But ours are all worth 6. And whoever gets Patrick Mahomes normally finishes in the money, in the top 5 spots. If he's on the board when I get to 4th, I'm taking him. I think he's one of the few guys who has a potential. With the 17th game, I think he's one of the few guys who has the potential to throw 60 touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you because I've always been – I used to be this person that said, just take running backs in the first 3 rounds.
Yep. And running backs suck. Unless you get like Derrick Henry. I mean, but there's
And even then, you cannot count on – like they have – running backs are – to me, like if you have a great quarterback in our league, whenever I play –
the guys who land the best quarterback in the league almost always do well.
And, you know, there's been times where I've missed, like I took Aaron Rodgers first round or something, and that was bad. And, you know, sometimes
if your first round pick gets hurt, like last year, Mason had the first pick. He took McCaffrey.
Yeah, I did yesterday. Yeah, you know,
But there are a bunch of people online, Momo, who are willing to walk me through this. Dave in Huntington Beach says he's won his league 3 years in a row. Dave, how big of a mistake would it be for me to take Mahomes with the fourth pick?
Well, last year, John, it was good because of the quarterbacks that were available. Okay, the problem with taking a quarterback right off the bat is if you take Travis Henry, okay, or one of these other big-time running backs like McCafferty, okay, they're going to get you 300 and some odd points, those running backs, all right? If you take Mahomes, all right, he's going to get you that as well. But you've got 16 picks before it comes back to you. okay? And the chances of you having a big-time receiver or a good running back, okay, is going to be slim and none, all right? You need, if you're in the
Dave,
top four.
Don't you find that there are only two or three running backs every year who really go off? I mean, other than that, how many times have you seen running backs just flop?
Well, 2 years ago, McCafferty was my first pick, okay? And last year, he was hurt. Okay, he won me the championship 2 years ago. Okay, last year, I did what you did. I took Mahomes, and I still won the championship.
There you go.
Okay, but hold on, John. Okay, I was drafting in the number two slot, all right? And I was going to have nobody basically available to me, okay? Mahomes wouldn't have been there. No good receiver, no good running back. So at that point, I just went ahead and went with it, all right?
Dave, that's the heart of my argument, that if I don't take him, he won't be there when he gets back, when it comes back around to me. And I'll just get a guy. You know, I won't get anybody that's going to, like, completely blow. Thank you for the phone call. Bergman is in studio and listening to this. And Bergman, you think I'm being an idiot?
Yes, I absolutely do. I was in your league for a little while, so this is why I have an idea of why.
When
this
you were
is
in
dumb.
The league, I finished in the money every year.
Yeah, well, good for you. But here's the problem: your league has dumb rules. Your rules
of
are
course.
Terrible. They're
I
awful.
Know.
Where I think it's 50 yards for a point, and it's actually for a point to get it.
For a quarterback and 20 for a running back.
Yeah, and 20 for a running back. Also, you only get 4 points, which I think you were talking about before, for every touchdown. Down.
No, so we get six.
They moved it up because it used to be four.
Yeah.
But either way, it's the point value doesn't work enough in your favor to go after a quarterback there. You need other guys that are going to get you points.
Right,
you need
so
a running back
first,
that's going to get you 100 yards and a touchdown, and same with the receivers.
All right, so if the first three picks are Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, and Saquon Barkley, or let's say Derrick Henry. Let's say it goes Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley. You want me to use the fourth pick on Alvin Kamara on a Saints team that might stink when I know Mahomes is going to throw three touchdown passes?
Yeah, I'm with
game.
You, John.
It's yes, Wait, I do want you to go there.
What would you do with the fourth pick?
I would go with him. I would go with a running back, or I would go with a stud wide receiver. Like if Mike Thomas is coming back healthy, I'd probably go
He's
with
not.
Him.
He's not. He's not even going to be out there for the first month.
Sorry. Yeah. It's finding the right. I don't have that in front of me who the best wide receivers and who the best running backs are. But I would
Devontae
stick
Adams or somebody like
sure.
that.
Sure. Yeah. Devontae Adams would be a great one. He's talking about how he's one of the best receivers in the league, and now he has Rodgers with him still. So that's a guy I would go with. I would go with somebody that's going to get you points and weekly, 100 yards and
a
touchdown.
Yeah, that's called a quarterback.
Yeah, that's Mahomes.
Right, but you can find so many other. The last caller was right. The last caller was right.
Great.
You can find other quarterbacks elsewhere.
Here's the thing. Our league, as you know, is so unpredictable that I think Mahomes might be gone by the time I get to the fourth.
No, he will be. No, your league. I bet you Mahomes goes in the top three. To be honest with you,
I'm stuck with one of these stiffs. You want me to do?
And you're going to be better off because of it, especially in that league. You want with the points.
All right, here's Jay in Torrance. He says people always get this wrong. Jay, what do you think?
I honestly think you're being stubborn. I mean, if you do the math, you start two to three running backs, two, and then one in the flex, right? Mahomes is projected to score 120 fantasy points more than Aaron Rodgers. Who's the QB6? So if you wait on a running back, you're losing 60 to 70 points on the year from that running back position from a projection standpoint.
But, Jay, isn't the heart of your argument that there's going to be more than three good running backs? What if it goes?
Do the math.
All right, what if it goes?
I'm doing the math for you.
What if it goes McCaffrey, Henry, and Kamara? So I either take Saquon Barkley – coming off of a catastrophic injury on a bad Giants
team. So you take Dalvin Cook, who's projected more than Saquon and Kamara.
And I got to watch the Viking games? Come on, man.
You don't have to watch him, but if you want to win, you want to win. I won a fantasy championship with Troy Smith as my quarterback because I had baller running backs in my flex and in my running back spot. And also, to Greg's point with the wide receiver, if you can, I mean, it depends on how the draft goes, but I'm not taking a stud wide receiver high. I mean, in this passing league, receivers that have 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns grow on trees late in the league.
Right.
So I did a draft yesterday where I got Chubb, Jonathan Taylor and J.K. Dobbins because everyone was reaching for Mahomes and receivers, and I'm just going to cruise throughout the league.
All right, thanks, man, for the phone call. We'll see how it goes. But
hey, Ireland, for what it's worth, I won two fantasy championships streaming quarterbacks. One was the year when Tom Brady got hurt in, like, week three, and the other one, I forget who it was because it was so long ago, but just so you know, it's possible.
All right, coming up next, speaking of Lindsay, is Radio Tinder. Ooh. She'll throw a bunch of stuff at Momo and I. Still to come today is Game of Games, my game today. And have I told the lie of the day? That will be something that everybody needs to figure out before the end of the show. Radio Tinder coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, we do this every day around this time. We get Lindsay in here, and she throws a bunch of stuff at us that she likes, and we react to it. Linz, what do you got?
All right, guys, so what I've got is Manny Pacquiao, who returned to the ring on Saturday after a two-year absence from boxing, but it looked like his age had finally caught up with him. The 42-year-old, who is one of the sport's all-time great boxers, lost a clear 12-round decision to Yordanis Ugas. Pacquiao's longtime boxing coach, Freddie Roach, fears that Pacquiao's days in the sport are numbered and that his 72nd pro bout may be his last. Should Manny Pacquiao just hang it up for good now, retire, be done with it? Swipe left or swipe right?
Momo, what do you think?
Okay, well, I actually am going to swipe. I'm going to disagree. Sorry, I'm swiping left. Is that right?
Yep, swiping left.
I'm going to disagree. I don't want to see him fight any more legitimate fighters, but I'm totally fine with him doing some Floyd Mayweather-style fights against Logan Paul or whoever he wants to fight. Like, let him fight. Let him fight, you know, anybody for money, because Manny is basically, he's going to be president of the Philippines one day. He is already a congressman there. He spends all this time and energy, you know, as a politician there. He is one of the most giving people. He's made a lot of money in his life, but he's also given away a lot of money in his life. And I actually think he needs it. So I'd much rather Manny do one of those sell out and, you know, just entertainment only boxing matches than watch another one of Floyd's.
This is a horrible idea you're proposing. Manny Pacquiao, who wants to remember Willie Mays at the end when he was
with
the
Mets? Yeah, I don't
want
to see him fight any more legitimate fights. I don't want him to get hurt.
I don't want to see him get hit anymore, period. He's already, you know, his fights have generated more than $1 billion. He's done, Momo. And by the way, like you pointed out, he has a whole career after boxing to look forward to. You mentioned he's a politician. He's a singer. You know, he's had like some hit songs. And by the way, have you ever met him?
Oh, yeah. I used to train at Wild Card, so I met him there. He's
so,
a great guy.
Like, the nicest guy you will ever meet. When I met him, he asked me a bunch of questions about me. I mean, that's that dude. The more times you get hit in the head, when I was a kid, my dad said, there's two things you can't do. You can't be a boxer, and you can't be a race car driver, because all the old boxers and all the old race car drivers are all beat up, and the boxers aren't straight in the head. Manny has escaped with all of his tact, with his facilities.
He's not going to get hurt fighting against Conor McGregor or something. I mean, he's going to be fine.
Why take the chance? Stop. I swipe right. Lindsay, what do you think?
I think I'm kind of with Momo on this, because first of all, how is it that he's like a politician, and that he's a successful politician, and that he hasn't had like severe head trauma and brain damage? How is that even possible to begin with? So, while I agree with you on that front, John, because I feel like if that's where his career is headed, which it is, then he should probably step away from the ring. But then again, we saw like the Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather fight. Nobody actually got hit in that fight.
You're talking about
like wrestling, basically. They're just carrying each other till
like
the end.
Yeah, but guys, Manny Pacquiao doesn't need to do that.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't have as much money as you think, you know?
What are you talking about?
I'm going to find out how much he's worth. Let's see.
He's got to have over $100 million. I mean, he doesn't need to fight anymore.
He said he's supposedly, according to Celebrity Net worth about $220 million.
Yeah, Manny, you've conquered. You're at the top of the mountain. You've conquered the sport. Get out and live the rest of. He's 42 years old. Get out and live the rest of your life.
One thing I do have a question about, really quick. So you know how he was originally supposed to fight Errol Spence Jr. in this fight, and then he had to pull out because he had like the eye issue or whatever.
Right.
Does Manny Pacquiao still get paid the same amount of money?
That is a great question. I think so. I think
that's the only reason why they fought this fight. Yeah.
I think once you agree to the purse, they have to pay you the purse.
We'll have to ask Michael on Wednesday.
Michael would know. All right, next. What's next?
He might know.
All right, next one. So Taylor Swift has officially joined TikTok. Hooray! I didn't know that she wasn't on TikTok, but then again, I'm not like a huge Swiftie. So anyway, this morning, the 31-year-old singer joined the popular video sharing app, and she celebrated by posting her first ever clip. Woo! In the clip, she teased the upcoming release of the re-recorded version of her 2012 album, Red. Maybe not that big of a deal to you guys, but, you know, for everyone who loves Taylor Swift, this is a huge deal that she's on TikTok now. Is there any one celebrity that could make you want to join TikTok or any other new social media app that comes out? Swipe left or swipe right?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think there is any celebrity who could get me to join TikTok.
Yeah.
I'm just not. Ramona, you're on TikTok, right?
Not really. No.
Okay.
Mason and I tried to do it for like half a second, and then I was like, this is too much work.
Yeah. I want to do less social media, not more. Although,
yeah, me too.
I did do my first Instagram post when I was in Idaho. I've never posted anything on Instagram, and my niece was wakeboard surfing, and she was kind of killing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes, hey, you have a lot of followers. You should put that out. And then I realized that all the wake surfing people aren't on Twitter. They're all on Instagram. So I sent out an Instagram post with a video of her riding behind the boat. But
nice.
There is not even Kate Beckinsale, Momo, could make me join TikTok.
Wow. Really?
I don't think there's anybody who could get me to join TikTok.
That's saying a lot for you.
Yeah.
Let me check and see if she's on there.
Yeah, I probably will eventually join TikTok, but I'll do it as just kind of an observer, not a person. I was thinking about that the other day. I was talking to a friend. I said, should I? It's just too much work to do all this social media. Like, you know, every story I write, I tweet it, but am I also supposed to Instagram it, Instagram story it, and get clips? And every time we do a radio show, are we supposed to have somebody who clips off good parts of it? And then I put it on, you know, that's a lot of work. I said, maybe I should just hire someone to do it. So maybe if I hire someone,
you'll have a social media person.
Yeah.
I think that ESPN should help you out with that because I know with us, we work with Carlo and they have people who send them a note.
If I could afford to pay Carlo to do all my social media, I might join because he's really good, but I have no interest in doing it.
Yeah. And I was thinking, well, do I really want all that extra attention? Yeah. Not really.
Lindsay, are you on TikTok?
I have TikTok. I just don't really post any. I've never posted anything on there. I just scroll.
TikTok is for guys like Mason who are craving attention.
Yeah, but Mason is not cool enough for TikTok. I'm sorry, but he's
he started one.
Yeah, but Lindsay,
the demographic of TikTok would ever care to look at his stuff.
He thinks he is. So, oh, okay. I mean, I'm just saying that if the idea is to get more people to join. And by the way, why are people hating on Taylor Swift? I don't know.
I love Taylor Swift.
I don't know a lot about her, but everything I know about her, I like.
Who's hating on her?
No, but I mean, it seems like there are a lot of people that are down on her. I don't get it. What's not to like about Taylor Swift?
I don't know. She's very successful, and she has a great voice, and she's probably the most...
Hey, look! I think it seems like Mace... Oh, no, it's a different person. I have been TikTok.
He's
very popular on TikTok, and they have 7,000 likes for everything. But then I realized
that's not Mason
7.
Yeah. Remember,
Mason 13 also has 70,000 likes.
Remember,
on stuff,
Mason said that he paid somebody $500 to get the Venice Mace TikTok marker.
That is Mason in a story right there.
And his first video, a tour of SoFi Stadium.
Yeah. I'm looking at it. He's got 128 followers so far.
Sure is hard to stick out
600
on TikTok.
Times. Steve Mason,
he'll think that's a tremendous success.
Yeah. Let's see. Steve Mason 7. He does really well. This guy, he's got,
there's a hockey goalie named Steve Mason. Maybe that's him.
That's probably who it is.
NHL goalie.
All right.
All right. Lindsay, you got one more?
Yep. This one's also social media kind of related. So Jerma, which I've never heard of him for the record until I found this story. He's a Twitch streamer that's famous for his elaborate pranks and borderline surreal streams. That's what his bio says. So he's allowing fans to run his life, literally. In what is basically a real-life version of The Sims, Jerma has placed himself in a simulation and allowing fans to not only watch, but actively take control over his life choices in an ongoing series of streams. Over the course of one of his three-hour streams, thousands of enthusiastic fans got to watch Jerma as they forced him to shower, pass out on his front lawn, and interact with a pair of clowns in his kitchen. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but basically it's like Sims for real people. While this guy is doing this just for the viral views, would you ever pay to have the ability to control parts of a celebrity's day? Swipe left or swipe right?
But this to me is, this is like that movie Ed TV with Matthew McConaughey,
yeah,
where his whole life was on TV.
Oh, yeah. Or like The Truman Show.
Right, same thing. No, I have no interest in controlling anyone else's life but mine. Well, I got enough to worry about with just me. Why do I want to worry about somebody else's decisions?
Yeah, I just feel like every question you ask me like this, and then I don't have time for the things that I want to actually do in life. Why would I make time for this?
These are, although Lindsay, I will say, these are all questions that if Mason were here, he'd be all into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
He would like Mason would love to be part of that because, you know, he would pick somebody famous that he could glom onto.
There's so many good shows. I mean, do you go on streaming sometimes? Like, there's five shows I want to watch that I'm still behind on. Like, I haven't even started this year's Ted Lasso. I haven't finished FBoy Island yet. I mean, I kind of know what happens.
Are you not up to speed on Ted Lasso?
I watched season one, but I haven't started season two because I wanted to let enough episodes build up. But maybe since you're on this week and you're into it, maybe I'll just try to do it one
of the
nights this
week. It's the best show
on TV. Yeah, it's
great. Really is.
I love season one, so I know I'm going to love this. I like to stream, so I don't want to wait every week.
Yeah. The other show, did you like The Good Wife back in the day when it was on?
I didn't watch it, but it doesn't mean I didn't like it.
There's a show on Paramount called The Good Fight, which is an extension of The Good Wife. It's really good. Lisa called me today from Idaho. She's still there. And she said that she is starting. And when Lisa starts to binge watch, as my wife,
yeah,
she literally will. She's that person that stays up and watches.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's my mom.
Episodes.
That's my mom. She did that with Downton Abbey one time.
Her new show, which is an old show, is her brother has convinced her to start watching Yellowstone. Do any of you guys watch that?
Oh, no, but I know about it.
She says it's basically Dynasty on a ranch.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's her new, she's completely into it.
Yeah, I know about that one. Is that Kevin Costner?
Yes.
Yeah, he's like out, he's doing Kevin Costner things out on the in Yellowstone. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, my mom's like that. I'll be like, Mom, why are you so tired? She goes, oh, I was up all night watching Downton Abbey. And I was like, how many episodes
well,
did you watch?
Well, you know, I've never
seen
I've never seen Downton Abbey, but the guy who plays Higgins on Ted Lasso apparently was on Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
So
I liked it, but I didn't finish all of it. I watched some of it, you know. Like there's shows I'll watch like 8 or 9 episodes and that's enough.
Let's just say my favorite character on Ted Lasso is Roy Kent.
Of course.
And Roy Kent has a very big episode this week.
Ooh.
A lot of Roy Kent in the one that came out Friday. So that's all I'll say without ruining it. All right, that's it for Radio Tinder. Coming up next, the more I read about the Trevor Bauer situation in the Dodgers, the more I think that this is not going to end the way we all think it's going to end. We'll get into that next. First, let me tell you about ZipRecruiter. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter is advancing technology like no other, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/LA. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to 100 top job sites, actually more than that. Then ZipRecruiter's matching technology identifies people with the right skills and experience and invites them to apply for your job. It's a winning formula. 4 out of 5 employers, 80% who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within one day. So if you want to step up your hiring game, give ZipRecruiter a shot. You got nothing to lose because, as I said, it's free at ZipRecruiter.com/LA. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LA. What are you waiting for? Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LA.